everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Movie Nights Roundtable. The Oscars have come and gone, unfortunately. That's my favorite time of year.
Oscars, they happened.
Yes, good job. Great job.
Thanks.
But yes, unfortunately, they have come and gone. However, we have our reaction up that you can watch right on the channel right now, our live reaction to the Academy Awards. Hannah took home the trophy this year.
She did.
Not for long, though. We're coming for it next year, but it did stay in the house. I got like a three-way version of it, like being able to keep the Oscar
keep
in the house.
Here. Yes, yeah. It just stares at you longingly from my side of the table.
Yeah.
Where's she going to put it now?
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
On your nightstand.
Yeah.
On her nightstand.
Yeah. Just to taunt me.
Just to taunt you.
Yeah. Or probably where she keeps all of her fake books.
Jesus.
That was a deep cut audiobook joke. I implied that she was going to upload it to a digital space and listen to the trophy. Anyway, we're going to break down.
Congratulations, Hannah, on taking home the trophy.
Yes. Congratulations, baby. Did a great job. Now we're going to dive in to the winners and break down exactly what happened and kind of take you through our thoughts on the whole thing.
For the record, I'd like to note that I did beat Dalton in points.
He did. I got third. You and Morgan tied for second.
Yep.
Great job.
Thanks.
You're welcome. But let's break down some of the winners here, shall we?
Where are we starting?
Let's start with a fun one. Let's start with visual effects. Mm-hmm. It was very cool to see Godzilla win.
It was awesome.
I thought the speech was great. I thought their energy was great. I love that they had all the little Godzillas with them.
With the gold one as well. Yeah.
That was really fun. I was a bit surprised that the creator didn't win. However, this is who I wanted to win. Mm. So my heart was happy.
Well, one, did you see the shoes that they were wearing? I highly recommend looking up the shoes. They were like the heel was the Godzilla claw.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of went back and forth on that one. And I ended up giving it to the creator. I watched Godzilla after, and I think watching it, I just kind of knew it was going to win just because of how good Godzilla looked.
Yes.
But I felt like all the other effects were kind of just fine.
Yeah.
Whereas I thought the creator was consistently good, but I think the VFX of Godzilla is better than anything in the creator.
Yeah, I kind of see that. Basically, how I kind of thought it was going to go, and this is what I should have had, not in hindsight, but in the moment, was if it's a close race, like if there's movies that it could go either way, they usually vote for the best movie. And Godzilla Minus One is the best movie in that category.
Yeah.
So it was like, I should have got that and figured that out. Dude, just because you've seen Godzilla Minus One now, the fucking like Jaws part when it's just fucking swimming after him. Oh my God.
So
amazing. Let's move on to best sound. Fuck you. First of all, I just want to say, because you'll recall on the predictions episode, I started my speech by saying, fucking Zone of Interest is going to win sound, and then you convinced me. You convinced me.
I hadn't seen Zone of Interest.
To go Oppenheimer.
And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is going to win sound.
Fuck. I should have just listened to myself.
I really liked the speech.
Yes.
That they made of, you know, just thank you for listening to our movie.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times with the sound category, it really is just best. We make the joke of best noise.
Yeah.
But it kind of is like the loudest, the most, you know, which is where you think, oh, Oppenheimer might take it. But the sound design, the sound mixing, everything about it is so integral to conveying the point of Zone of Interest that it makes sense that they win. And I'm glad that the Academy recognized that aspect of it instead of just, oh, the bomb sounded cool in Oppenheimer.
Yeah. You know, and I agree.
Not to say that the sound design wasn't great.
Yeah, of course. But I also said, like, when we did the video, like, what do I think the best one? It was Zone of Interest. So I'm glad it won. I dislike the movie, but I'm glad that it won best sound. Moving on to best film editing. Oppenheimer, we called that. It's edited very well, and it plays with time, and the Academy loves when you do that.
Yep.
And I thought,
not only time, but also objective versus subjective.
Yes. I thought that the speech was good, too. I liked her speech.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mm-hmm. Production design, Poor Things. We knew it was going to come down between Poor Things and Barbie. Barbie only walked away with one award, which we'll get to later. But Poor Things, I think, won 4. It was the second most winning movie behind Oppenheimer, which had 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, listen, good night for Poor Things, but which we're definitely going to get into later.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't really argue with the production design on Poor Things, though. The sets are fucking, and the art direction is beautiful.
Again, with those technical awards, and I said it when we were picking, I leaned more heavily toward Poor Things, because Barbie, it exists. They built it beautifully, not to like say anything about that work, but like Poor Things is just wholly original with the production design, the costuming, you know, so it makes sense over Barbie to me at least.
Yeah, no, I agree. Best original score, Oppenheimer, Ludwig took it. Not only in my head, not only is this his award for Oppenheimer, which is an incredible score, it's very well done. This is also the award for fucking Tenet. I can't believe he didn't get nominated for Tenet. I'm still on this. I've been on it for a long time. The Tenet score is amazing, and it wasn't even nominated.
Nominated. You know, he's definitely becoming such a huge name in the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, his name and, you know, Michael Giacchino, you know, they're going to be the people who think of when you think of, like, oh, John Williams, Hans Zimmer. You know, they're already getting to that caliber, and I really like his story of he just sort of did random transition music for Community, the TV show, which I love, and that's where Donald Glover started to kind of go into the Childish Gambino stuff and asked him to make some beats, and now he's a 2-time Oscar winner.
Yeah,
crazy. Like, it's just great.
Yeah, it's insane, and well-deserved. The score is incredible. Best original song, What Was I Made For, from Barbie, did go on to win.
Yes.
I do think it was the best original song. Barbie's only win. However, the I'm Just Ken performance, oh my God.
That was the highlight of the show. That was the highlight of the show.
It was an amazing number.
But a wonderful congratulations to 2-time Academy Award winners.
2-time!
Billie Eilish and Phineas.
Yeah.
And that's insane at their age, too.
I know. She's the youngest person to have 2 Oscars.
That's awesome.
And I also saw, I mean, it makes me feel old as shit, first of all. But also, I saw this really funny interview she did before the show where she said a friend texted me and said, oh, if you win tonight, you're halfway to the EGOT. And I texted her and said, baby, I've already won an Oscar.
So does she need Emmy Tony then?
I think so. Yeah.
Who's the youngest person to have an EGOT? Do you think if she gets into the next few years?
I don't know.
Because I think she's under 25.
Yeah,
so she can do it maybe before 30, maybe?
Yeah. Oh,
I'll have to look that up after. That's a great... That'd be interesting.
Comments. Tell us who the youngest person to win an EGOT is, or to achieve EGOT.
Yeah,
that's a great question.
Interesting.
Oh.
Honestly, I'd be gunning for it.
If I was her.
I know it's not about, like, the awards, right? Yeah. They don't do it for that. It's the passion. But, like, if I already have 2 of them and I'm under 25, I'd be like...
I'd be like, let's get on a TV show right now.
Yeah, what can I get now? Can I go to Broadway?
Because here's the thing.
Lynn, what are you working on?
Realistically.
Yeah.
Let's say you and me were in Hollywood. The hardest one for us is going to be that Tony. That's going to be fucking difficult.
Not the Grammy?
No, because I feel like we could make a funny song. And then it could get one of the Grammys. You know, Taika Waititi has a fucking Grammy.
Is he really?
Yeah. So I'm not too overly... I forget which movie it was, but he has a Grammy. I'm not too overly concerned about it.
And the only Emmy we're winning is daytime.
Oh, that's fine. I'll count it. They won't. I will. It's fine. That's perfectly fine. We can do it. EGOT before 100.
EGOT before 100.
Hey, let's go. Best makeup and hair. It did go to Poor Things, which was no surprise to me. Online, a lot of people thought it was going to be Maestro's only win. I think the makeup and Poor Things is phenomenal. Would have been cool to see Society of the Snow win. Just throwing it out there. I love that film. But I'm glad it was nominated in that category.
It was very cool to see that it got nominated outside of international for something, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should have been nominated for Best Picture, but that's fine. Costume design also went to Poor Things. That's where I was wrong. I thought Barbie was going to take that one. I am not mad, though. The costumes in Poor Things are excellent throughout the whole film. It's all part of the vibe of that the production design was as well. Any complaints there?
No, I mean, that's what I voted for. Again, Barbie, they adapted everything from the Barbie costumes very wonderfully.
Yeah.
And there were original stuff in it, but again, just giving the edge to Poor Things being wholly its own thing. Well, I know it's adapted, but like it's not a toy that you buy outfits for. It's a book.
Best cinematography. This one kind of split the group, but Oppenheimer won, which we figured it would. Some passionate people very upset that Poor Things did not win cinematography. And look, here's the thing. The category, pretty stacked. Poor Things cinematography is excellent. If I'm voting in the Academy, I also give it to Oppenheimer, personally. I think people are just forgetting how good that movie actually looks. When you watch it, it looks gorgeous, one. Two, it's shot on film, it's shot on IMAX, so you have a an edge there. And three, the varying locations and the varying degrees of that movie, the switch to black and white, and it's all shot on film, so it's to be lit very differently.
Yeah.
Like, it's shot incredibly well. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, in my opinion, amazing cinematography.
Like, because cinematography is much more than just, you know, it's the composition of the whole shot. So yes. The lighting, everything being intentional.
Yes, everything within the frame, how the frame is manipulated. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I do give it the edge top, and
I was not upset about it at all. Nothing against Poor Things. Amazing cinematography.
I think Poor Things just had the cooler production design, which I think then makes the
what's in the frame look nicer.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair. Best documentary short film went to The Last Repair Shop. Great job, Last Repair Shop.
Very good one.
Should have put it as my number one. Live action.
I had it as my number two. Same. I had a weird feeling that it was going to be number one, but I didn't stick to my gut on it.
Yeah. Live action short went to Henry Sugar, Wes Anderson, now an Oscar winner. He wasn't there, however, which is a bit funny.
It is funny.
It's a cash money move.
He didn't do it on purpose, though. I don't know if
he
saw this.
He was filming something.
Yeah, he's in Germany about to start filming his new movie, but well deserved. Shame it wasn't, you know, a directing nomination for.
It's coming.
I mean, he's gotten nominated, what, 5 times?
Yeah.
And his movies always get, well, except for Asteroid City.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that he was like, yeah, I'll just do the shorts. Yeah. I'll get an Oscar and then I can be at ease with myself. And then.
Yeah. I still think he'll get it one day.
Is this new one he's filming? Is that the one with Michael Cera?
I think so. Yeah. So I'll let you take this one. Animated short film was War is Over, which you've seen all the animated short films, right?
Yes.
You were not a fan of this choice.
It was my least favorite.
And it's very visible in the reaction video.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing about it. As we talked about, it's always very weird, right? So, like, costumes, is it most costumes? Is it best costumes? You know, with things like animated feature, you know, I look at it as being about the story as much as the animation, which we'll go into where I think both animated, my number one choice for main animated feature, the one that won and the one I thought was going to win, both fit into that. I think that the stories are much stronger in all the other animated shorts that were nominated.
Yeah.
I think that the animation strictly does look the best in The War is Over, but the story is just so basic and uninteresting and whatever be it. So I really thought, you know, good animation paired with a good story beats just
good animation. It's nice animation.
Exactly.
Yeah. I gotcha.
But I really should have kind of leaned into the politics of it because Peter Jackson's a producer.
Yeah.
It was made by Weta. And it's with John Lennon's music. Like, it makes sense that that is clearly the one.
Yeah.
But I just was so blinded by, like, not enjoying it that I just couldn't think about it, you know?
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for your insight.
Yeah.
International feature, Zone of Interest. No surprise there. Should have been Society of the Snow, but whatever.
Yoko Patano was really good.
That's what you were telling me the other day.
I would definitely watch that one.
Yeah, I want to watch it. Best documentary feature film went to 20 Days of Mariupol. Again, no surprise. Amazing speech, by the way.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, my God. Incredible speech by that guy, the filmmaker. Animated feature went to Boy and the Heron.
Yes.
Which was a fun surprise, but it was one that we talked about on the predictions. We said, hey, do not be the least bit surprised if this happens, and we weren't. Writing was on the wall.
Well, that was interesting, and I'll speak more to what I was saying before now on it, because I think that the story and the animation in both movies is fantastic, and I give the edge to both of them because the hand-drawn animation is just beautiful.
Yeah.
But the things that they were able to animate in Spider-Verse, just on the technical level, I found much more appealing. So I was very happy because I loved both. I think both were in my top 10 of the last year. But it was kind of just that balance again where I leaned more towards Spider-Man from the technical and the storytelling.
Yeah.
But then it was just best effects for the short.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. Shame.
No, great for it's possibly the guy's last movie.
So. I meant but the short.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. Miyazaki, I'm thrilled for. And they released a video of him watching from Japan. So yeah, you actually get to see him. And it was very nice. The whole team. It was really nice. Good. Original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall. Knew it. Mm-hmm. That was fun to see. I'm really happy for Justine Triet and Arthur. I thought the script was one of the best parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. It's a very good movie. And just it getting recognized in a big category was very nice to see, because it deserves it, I think.
It wasn't even on my radar until, like, I was like, oh, Holdovers are Past Lives.
Yeah.
And then I watched it, luckily, before we did the final prediction. I was like, oh, shit, that's got it. That is it.
Yeah. It's so funny. Watching all of the feature films really helps your choices. Watching all of the short films hurts your choices, in my opinion, I feel like. Best adapted screenplay went to American Fiction. Now, this was something I said on the show that could happen, and it was my second choice. I still went with Barbie because I thought there was going to be like a rally behind that. Yeah. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. But American Fiction, listen, I like the film more than you do. You don't hate the film, but I like it more than you do. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy that it won this award. And I think, honestly, I think Cord Jefferson might have given the best speech of the night.
I do agree that he gave a great speech. Yeah. I didn't even put it as my number two. Not to say that I disliked the screenplay or anything of it. I just thought that there was really going to be the storyline behind Barbie going into it. And I forgot what I had. Oh, Oppenheimer had as my second. I just really was going off the Barbenheimer hype. So I'm happy that it was able to break through that, unless I've just made up that sort of storyline in my head.
And if you have an Oppenheimer sweep, it's going to be hard to predict which ones it doesn't win. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an easy thing to do at all.
No.
Best actress in a supporting role, Divine Joy Randolph. Another great speech. Yes. Very happy
first
for her.
First one of the night.
Yes, very happy for her. Very happy for Holdovers. I'm just glad it won something. I did not want it to go home empty-handed, and I'm glad it didn't.
I think that it got the most... Her winning was the most deserving award for the movie.
Probably, yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah, she's amazing in it. Mm-hmm. And it was my favorite movie of last year. I love that film. Supporting actor, Robert Downey Jr. Again, no surprise. I liked his speech as well. Those two, I think, were the only big locks of the night.
Yeah.
That were like, these are who's going to win them. But regardless, it was still cool to see. I thought that you could tell that it means a lot to both of them. And while it's scripted and while the actors themselves didn't write it, seeing the other actors, like, talk about the nominees is nice. I love the Nick Cage, Paul Giamatti. And I love, like what you said, they need a buddy cop movie immediately.
Put them in a movie.
Immediately. But yeah, I thought that was a nice thing to see him take that award. Yeah. Let's talk about this one. Best actress.
Ooh, boy.
Emma Stone.
Now, I saw a lot of people online calling it an upset. And I don't
know about that.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it was a surprising win.
Yeah.
But definitely not a undeserved win.
Oh, no. Listen, Emma Stone is phenomenal in that film. And if you asked me, of those listed, who was your favorite, it was Emma Stone.
Yeah.
My second right behind her is Lily Gladstone. And I predicted Lily to win because, one, I think it's a deserving performance. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And two, the Guild Awards, or all the other awards, it was going back and forth. Emma, Lily. Yeah. And then SAG, she sank the SAG. Lily did. And I was like, all right. See,
She won the SAG?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, Killian and Lily won SAG, and I thought Oscars were going to go with Paul and Lily, but instead they went with Emma, Killian.
Mm-hmm.
I knew one of the SAGs wasn't going to get in. I just guessed the wrong one. Okay. But people saying that, like, it's an upset or it's undeserving, hard disagree. Emma Stone gave a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, like, but an upset would have been, like, Annette Bening winning for Naiad.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. Yeah. Not that she was bad, but just in that conversation.
It was Lily versus Emma with it. To me, the online discourse leaning heavily toward Lily.
Yeah. And also, one, Lily should not be upset that she lost, because she lost to that performance. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to lose to something, lose to that performance. And something that a conversation that's been started that I find very interesting is hindsight's 2020. Should they have run Lily in the supporting actress category? Mm-hmm. Would she have done better? Would she have beaten Divine Joy Randolph? We don't know. But the reason some people think that the reason why she lost that category is a screen time issue. Cillian Murphy and Emma Stone give very different performances. Cillian's is very subtle.
Yeah.
Emma is very over the top, not in a bad way, but just like out there. But both of those actors are in practically every scene of their film, their long runtime film. Lily Gladstone in a 3.5-hour movie is on screen for 27 minutes,
mm-hmm.
26 minutes. So while she commands every scene that she's in, and to me, Lily gives the best performance in the movie, a lot of people, I think, this is me just kind of projecting, I think a lot of people are saying, like, this lead actress wasn't in the movie that much. Mm-hmm. And supporting, you can get away with that, like Judd Hirsch for Fablemans. He's in the movie, he's in Fablemans for 5 minutes, but it's a fucking killer 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, Anthony Hopkins for Hannibal Lecter's 16 for lead.
Was he lead or was he supporting?
He was lead.
Was he lead?
He won lead.
It was lead.
I'm 90% sure.
No, you could be right.
Oscar winner, best actor in a leading role, Silence of the Lambs.
Damn. Well, yeah, there you go.
Well, and here's the thing about the two performances. I think that Lily Gladstone's character is the heart of Killers of the Flower Moon. Mm-hmm. I think that Emma Stone, Bella, is the star of the movie.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I don't know how to describe it better mm-hmm. than that. Where everything, you know, we're showing Emma Stone the whole time. But the thing about Emma Stone's performance is there are so many times where that could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And as an actor, I think you have to embrace a role. I'm not an actor, but like, mm-hmm. you know, you have to face that with such a particular mindset.
Completely open, completely vulnerable, completely exactly. out there.
And there's
yeah.
just so much that you have to give to that mm-hmm. from that standpoint that I think from a technical level of acting,
yeah,
I think it deserves 100%.
Yeah, no, and listen, it's a phenomenal performance.
It's just different performances, so it's like, how do you rate them against each other?
Yeah, but all that to come down to say, I think both performances are great, and I'm not upset that Emma won at all. Mm-mm. Although she did not think she was going to fucking win, and you could see that in her face, and it wasn't like a fake. She was like, oh my, oh, like she did not. And I don't know if you saw this, someone put it on Twitter, that a publicist was talking to Emma in the pre-party mm-hmm. and said, did you write anything down? And she said, no, I'm not going to win. Jeez. So it's like, it was like that. She didn't expect it much.
Even too, if you look back at like just the whole award season, how they've been going back and forth, like every mm-hmm. time the other wins, it's like just such a clear, different level of excitement
yeah.
than the other nominees.
Yeah. And I will say, you felt full support for both of them for each other in that moment. Oh, yeah. And I think that that was nice, too. There didn't seem to be any sort of bitterness there from anyone.
And like even in her speech, like, you know, she kind of did the thing a lot of people do where it's like, I share this with all of you.
Yeah.
But like, you could just tell.
She ended
like,
it with Lily.
She's like looking just directly at Lily and is like, this is us.
Yeah. And look, I think Lily Gladstone's going to be back at the Oscars very soon.
Yeah.
She was amazing. I'm excited for what she does next. Mm-hmm. Actor in a leading role went to Cillian Murphy. I'm a little bit sad Paul Giamatti didn't get it, but like I said earlier, Cillian Murphy gave a fucking great performance in Oppenheimer, and it is nice that in his first lead with Nolan, he gets the award. That's cool. And
then Nolan gets his it's just what has been waiting the whole time
symmetry, listen, let's go right on to that. Nolan finally got his Oscar for directing, and it's so well deserved. It's such a great movie, and this is. It feels like, because usually you can tell when someone gets their career Oscar. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel like that for Nolan as much as it has for other people in the past, like Departed for Scorsese. Like, this feels like it's an award for Oppenheimer. But you can tell that it's also like, man, you've made some good shit that we didn't recognize, so here you go. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio did win for Revenant, but it was also like you should have won for Wolf of Wall Street, too.
I would say that only if he had been consistently nominated. Like, the fact that he was just never nominated, really.
Which is insane.
Is more of why I lean toward it being the...
Well, like, yeah.
This is for everything else.
Yeah.
Because, like, watching Interstellar or Inception, it's like, how is he not even, like...
Yeah.
Nominated.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I know he got a screenplay nom for Inception.
Yeah.
And he got director for Dunkirk. That was his first director one, I believe. Nothing for Tenet, fucking cowards. And then...
Tenet.
Dude, I fucking love Tenet. I've seen it like five I saw it 5 times like when it came out. Like, I love that movie.
Do you still understand it?
I do. I understand Tenet.
But you just have to experience it.
Yes. It's great. It's a temporal pincer movement. Anyway. That's a real line from
like
the movie.
Like a karate move?
Yes. I'm very happy that Christopher Nolan won. And like the fact that Spielberg gave it to him and they shared a very long, sensual hug. I was a big fan. Big fan. And of course, Best Picture, Oppenheimer took it home.
Eyes see Oppenheimer.
Oh my God, what a fucking fumble of a Jesus H.
Do you think he was supposed to read out every nominee?
I don't think so. I think like just them doing it throughout the show, but like you have to do the, and the Oscar goes to.
Yeah, he didn't even
say
that.
For fucking Best Picture.
Yeah, he just.
You know, and he could have even said like, you know, you've heard the nominees throughout the night. Now it's time to pronounce the winner. Here we go. This is it. And the Oscar goes to Messi, the dog. And then he runs up, you know. But yeah, listen, well-deserved. I think there are a number of movies that could have won that would have been deserving, but I'm glad it was Oppenheimer. Past Lives went home empty-handed. American Fiction went home with one. Holdovers went home with one. Poor Things went home with 4. My Show went home empty-handed. Killers of the Flower Moon went home empty-handed. Anatomy of a Fall won 1 screenplay. And then A Zone of Interest won 2. I'm trying to think of the other.
Trying to think of some other highlights. Well, we talked about Ken.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Arnold Schwarzenegger and
the
Danny
Batman
DeVito's Batman
bit. Was really
bit.
Funny.
I think that Michael Keaton gives a better performance as Batman there than in The Flash.
Oh my God.
I'll say it.
Listen, it was a great bit, and I also loved the John Cena bit.
Oh, the costume design, yeah. That was pretty good.
I loved the bit with Kate McKinnon and Melissa McCarthy when they were talking about documentaries, and they were like, Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, and she goes, who have been sending my tasteful nudes?
And Steven Spielberg just points
to
himself.
The comedic timing of Spielberg is so good.
You forget that that man created the Animaniacs until you see shit like that. That's right, you forgot that, didn't you?
Oh, my God, the joke, it's, oh, my God, the kid from The Fablemans is here, and it just cuts to...
Oh, so
man. I loved John Mulaney's bit for sound.
Oh, yes. That
was
great.
So funny with the Madam Web dig.
Yeah.
He can't be making those jokes.
Yeah, he's in Sony's
He's Spider-Ham. Yeah. He can't make that.
I also loved...
Oh, you know Amy Pascal is...
Oh, yeah.
That all they did was make Madam Web jokes, and then Spider-Verse doesn't take home the Oscar.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, and sandwiches are being thrown.
There's an article written in one of the minor trades somewhere that Madam Web cost Spider-Verse the Oscar. There's an article being written right now. But I also loved his Field of Dreams bit a lot. Very funny.
I always like when he describes things and
like the fugitive from his stand-up. Yeah,
but he just doesn't name the characters.
He just says the actors.
It's just the actors.
It's so funny. Every time.
I want to hear him just rant about every movie.
So do I. Like I want to hear every Best Picture nominee, but just describe it how John Mulaney would describe it. That'd be great.
And then Richard Dreyfuss shows up and it's like, I'm a marine biologist.
And then Robert Shaw shows up and says, fuck you, college boy. I drive boats. They don't get along.
He takes the can and he crushes it.
Yeah. And the other one's like, I'm a cop. I hate the water, yet I'm on a boat.
I could see him having 5 minutes on just the guy that goes, a what?
Yeah. Brilliant. We can't do these late.
No.
We can't.
No.
But yes, guys, that was the Oscars recap. And of course, we can't do an episode without moving on to the box office.
The box office.
Nicholas, I don't remember what our predictions were from last week. I'll be honest with you.
They should be written down on the...
Okay, I got them. I got them. Your predictions were Dune Part 2.
Yoy, yoy.
Kung Fu Panda 4. Imaginary. Bob Marley, Ordinary Angels. My picks. Dune Part 2, Imaginary, Kung Fu Panda 4, the fuck was I thinking? Cabrini, Bob Marley.
Dune Part 2 sounds French.
It does. We were both wrong. Surprise, surprise. Kung Fu Panda 4 actually came in first, making $57.9 million in its opening weekend. That movie was made on a budget of, I believe, in the 80 range. I want to say it was $85 million, and it's made worldwide 81. So,
not bad.
You could say it's gonna be fine. Well, watch it take an 80% drop because it's not a great movie. Dune Part 2 only dropped 44% from week 1 to week 2. By the way, these are the final Monday numbers. Made $46.2 million. Very good for Dune Part 2. It has now surpassed the box office of Dune Part 1 domestically. Worldwide has a little bit more to go. It is now at a $369 million worldwide total on a budget of $190. 1.9 times that budget. Moving right along to 2.5, which it will need and be fine.
Demonetized.
Yeah, oh my God, what an impression as well. Imaginary came in third, making $9.9 million for Lionsgate and Blumhouse. Total worldwide, $11 million on a budget of $13. Gotta love Jason Blum, even if the movie is shit. I haven't seen it, so I can't say it, but I've just heard it's not great.
Our research is everything we've seen about it.
Yes. Cabrini came in fourth, making $7.1 million. Worldwide total $7.2 million, and I don't have the budget. I can't imagine it was that expensive. It was an Angel Studios film. Good for that movie, making that $7 million. Bob Marley One Love came in fifth, making another $4 million. Worldwide box office is now at $160 million on a budget of significantly less than that. I can tell you that. I don't have the number up. I want to bring up a couple more films here.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinary Angels is now at $16 million domestically. Good for that movie. Wonka has now crossed $628 million worldwide. Fuck yeah. That
thing had legs.
Oh, it's got Timmy legs. Lisan Al Gaib.
Lisan Al Gaib.
And last but not least, Argyle is going to end its theatrical run with less than $100 million at 94 on a budget of $200 million. And actually, I'll do one more.
Spoilers alert for Argyle. We are not seeing Argyle, the book, the movie, part one, are we?
No. I want to throw in one more.
Yeah.
The Beekeeper.
It's
at over $125 million worldwide. I think it might even, hopefully might even get to $150. And yeah, I think it was made on a budget of $35, $40.
They are very happy about that.
Give me Beekeeper 2, you cowards. I would very much so be interested in it. I'm curious to see if they're going to re-release some Oscar movies. Based off the wins, they might. If they put Oppenheimer back, I might just go watch it again. Whoopsies. I haven't watched the 4K yet, but I've heard it's great. Actually, I'm so sorry, dude. One more. Madam Web. Only made $1 million last week. $96 million worldwide. Madam Web has made more money than Argyle. And it was made on a production budget of $80. So 1.2 times that budget back. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in Ireland next week.
Yeah.
And by the way, there won't be a Thursday episode, but there will be a ton of movie reviews. So many. I'm dying. Please save me. But don't worry, they are coming. And you want to go ahead and do predictions for next week anyway?
Yeah, what's coming out?
I think
Arthur the King.
Arthur the King and the American Society of Magical Slurs.
Dune Part 2.
Okay, it's going to reclaim number one, okay. Yes.
Kung Fu Panda.
Okay.
Arthur the King.
Oh, hold on, I should be writing these down.
Mm-hmm.
So Dune Part 2, Kung Fu Panda. What was third?
Arthur the King.
Okay.
American Society.
Okay.
And Cabrini. Everyone's going to have seen Cabrini. I'm going to go Bob Marley. No. Scratch that. Reverse it. Imaginary.
Okay. Okay.
That's where we're at.
I also think that Dune Part 2 is going to come back and take number one. I do think Kung Fu Panda will go to second place. I think Imaginary is going to stay third.
Okay.
That's just me, though. I think Arthur the King is going to take fourth, and that Cabrini will take fifth. Because I've heard that the movie is actually quite good.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Will we both be wrong? Most likely. But it's still fun to do. Guess your picks of the box office down below, and if you're right, we'll shout you out on the show. We'll see you in some videos later this week. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next one.